This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hello and welcome to another installment of our occasional podcast called I Wish I Hadn't. I'm Dave Hill.
And I'm John Wyatt. As you can tell from our names, David and Jonathan, we were born in the 1950s, so we've had many years to accumulate embarrassing moments which we now feel happy to share.
The dictionary defines regret as a sorrowful remembrance, a sense of loss. But we're not in the business of sorrow and loss here. We're dealing with those things in life that we might wish had been otherwise, but which we're now prepared to own up to.
To recall those ill-advised purchases, the awkward social gaffes, the mechanical mayhem and painful misadventures scattered liberally throughout our lives. Okay, so today we attempt to mute some of those hideous noises we've been subjected to in our past.
Indeed.
It's today the subject, or the topic, is oral, spelt with an A-U at the beginning, not an O.
Led to some hilarity when we were discussing it. I seem to recall that we were going to start with oral, which is probably a good place to start.
Through our ears. And of course, we are both big music fans, Dave.
Absolutely.
But one of the things that I wish I had never heard was the sound of my dog, my first dog, having his anal glands expressed. Because he was a very smelly dog, and yes. I took him to the vet. And so he was put on a table and I stood at his head end and the vet went round to his rear end and the dog was sort of looking over his shoulder suspiciously. And the vet put on some gloves, lifted his tail, and the dog's eyes started to bulge. And then as the finger went in, the poor animal let out this hideous scream. It was, you know, as if he was just being killed rather than... I wish I could expunge that from my memory.
From your memory.
But of course, it made him a lot more pleasant to live with after that.
Well, yes, I can imagine. I mean, I think it's interesting that you sort of went straight for something like that, because when we thought about things that we'd heard, my immediate thoughts went to different recordings that I purchased in the past and regretted tremendously afterwards.
Oh, God, yes.
I think the thing is that, you know, when we were growing up, you didn't have the opportunity to listen to snatches of things that might and think, I'll listen to something on say Spotify or something and listen to various tracks and think, yes, that would be a good idea. You usually had to go on maybe one thing that you'd heard very briefly.
Yeah, and you bought the album and...
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, the one I always come back to is I heard on the radio, I think, I heard a great track called Dance With Me by Orleans.
Oh, yes.
Very sort of West Coast Eagles type recording. And I thought, that's really good. I must go out to Virgin Records and buy the album because it's obviously going to be fantastic. And I did. You know, my hard-earned cash went on to a copy of Orleans and I brought it home and put it on my stereo system. And I think the opening track was Dance With Me. Fantastic, here we go. And that's then it was followed by a load of complete and utter toss, basically. which I played once and never listened to again.
While we're on the subject of this, Dave, could I just remind you about you buying the Steppenwolf album?
Oh, yes. The Steppenwolf album. Now, there was a great album.
What was the story of that one?
Steppenwolf Live. We were coming back from, our hitching round Cornwall youth wrestling trip, weren't we? And we were at Exeter bus station.
Yeah.
And we're going to Exeter bus station, and there was a record shop. And I went in. We all went in and looked at various things. And I had some money left from our jaunt, and picked up this cover with a fantastic. I think it was like a wolf's head on the front. If I remember,
yeah,
a very angry looking wolf, and it had in great letters emblazoned across it, "Steppenwolf Live." And I thought, great! I love "Born to Be Wild." Pusher, I've heard all of those. Hearing them live is going to be fantastic. So I've duly parted with my money and purchased the album. And then we went home on the bus. The rear of the bus. Took looked at the album cover a few times. Thought, this is going to be great. There's some great tracks on here. Recognised most of these. And some new ones. Got it home and took the record out of the cover. Took it out of the sleeve. And there was the legend, Mrs. Mills, "Party Time."
Oh, dear. How we laugh. Because getting to Exeter in those days wasn't that easy anyway, was it really? No doubt you had to persuade your dad to drive you down there. And
I did, yeah. And in fact, I wasn't able to take it back for quite some time because we weren't going to Exeter. I did finally manage to go back with it and present it to, because surprisingly, the record inside that sleeve, the Mrs. Mills "Party Time," hadn't actually been played. I didn't actually put it on and play it to see if it was just a misprint. It was, in fact, that's it. You know, there's no way. So,
did you actually put it on your deck and play it and think, well, actually, this isn't bad?
I'm in the mood for a party.
Exactly. Anybody who doesn't know Mrs. Mills, go and Spotify her now, because
absolutely, yeah.
Exactly. What the difference is between Mrs. Mills and Steppenwolf? It's not the same thing.
Yeah. In fact, if I remember, many, many years later, wasn't it that our friends came and had managed to track down in a sort of a second-hand charity shop for about 50p a copy of Mrs. Mills' "Party Time," which they then presented me with. They said they thought I must be missing it, you know. But,
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. What a classic. Yeah. We enjoyed that one. I'm going to say, one of the things I wish I hadn't done was waste a lot of time talking about music, waste a lot of time in my life trying to appreciate classical music. I just don't get it. I've tried quite hard, and I'd sort of sit down, try and listen to it, and then I just get bored and wander off and do something else. So those hours that I lost trying, thinking I kind of, it was, you know, a bit Philistine of me not to appreciate classical music. So I spend some serious effort trying to, and I never will, you know, that's beyond me.
I mean, it's interesting because I, you know, we do share a lot of musical tastes, but there is quite a lot of classical music I do like. I mean, in a way, I suppose it's the sort of the well-known bit, the bits you hear on adverts sometimes, and the bits you think, oh, I know this, and then I've heard various sort of bits of not whole classical pieces, but certain parts of it.
But you know, generally speaking, I've always been a rock folk, much more contemporary, you know, music with a beat, I suppose. Can I just remind you of another experience that we shared, which I think we will probably both regret, which was sitting in a hall in Bridport, watching a concert and trying very hard to suppress laughter because one of the singers was singing so consistently out of tune. And it was actually quite painful trying to stop ourselves from laughing. And we didn't dare look at one another because it was you, me and Jackie, I think.
Would this be the rendition of "Bally High" by any chance?
Ernie was in the lyric in Bridport.
Yeah. I remember it well because I can remember sitting there and the sort of the accompaniment started, and then suddenly this voice went, Burley! And it really was a case of we can't possibly catch each other's eye now because we would just burst out and cry with laughter.
You wouldn't seem to be appreciating it. But you and I had my head in my hand. I was holding my stomach because I was just trying to stop laughing out loud. It's so difficult if you try and suppress a laugh.
It was
painful, wasn't it, really?
Oh, it was horrendous. It really was, yeah. And it was having been in various concerts with the music that I've taken part in, whenever there's if there are shows, then usually the people who are reasonably accomplished can get the parts and do the songs.
And
when there's a concert, many societies attempt to encourage the ones who don't normally get parts by giving them a solo. And the trouble is, by doing that, they often just prove why that person doesn't get a part normally. They audition for it, hopefully, and they're never going to get anything. So they're given a song in a concert. And some of the stuff that you hear, well, as we did there, is just phenomenally poor. And you know why they're not doing parts in shows.
do they don't get the part, presumably, then? Or you just
They don't normally. They're the people who have auditioned for parts and don't get them normally. And you know why? Because they can't do it, basically. And you wouldn't possibly subject the normal audience to that sort of performance, do we say? Yeah.
No, I know. And I've got another one, Dave, that actually involves you. And I think you might wish that you hadn't been involved in this one, because it takes us back to when we were about 12 years old, 13 years old. And in assembly at school, and I, for some reason, had developed under my nose a very, very small wart, which I didn't think was visible to anybody, as you don't particularly, you know. And I came into assembly this day, and we stood together, because you didn't sit in assembly, did you? We stood together, and you looked at me, because, you know, we just arrived at school, and you sang a short refrain from My Fair Lady. You sang, I've grown accustomed to your wart.
I'd completely forgotten that.
Well, I thought I'd just remind you, because I was mortified. And I suppose I could say I wish I hadn't heard that. You probably wish you hadn't sung it. I mean, thinking back now, it was funny. And this wart just disappeared in time, as they do. It was very small, but you know, it was. The fact that you actually put it into song was kind of nice and touching, I thought.
When you say it was quite small, John, it can't have been that small. My eyesight wasn't that good.
Well, maybe just because we were standing close to one, we were quite good friends. You probably had a fair bit of time to study my nose and my wart, but so there you go. You know, I just thought I'd remind you of that one.
Oh, I'm pleased to be reminded of that, because it's completely slipped my mind.
Well, yeah, good. It's the best place for it to be. But I've never forgotten it. You know, it's always the trauma of that day that stayed with me all these years. And we're still friends, you know. It wasn't as if I turned my back and stomped out of assembly. Never speak to me again. Never sing to me again.
Never sing to me again. I know this isn't completely to do with our, I suppose it is in a way, but talking of school assemblies, one of my enduring memories is of the only time I was ever sent out of assembly at school.
And
we were standing together.
Yeah.
You may or may not remember this, but I remember I was, we noted, because in those days, the chair of governors used to come and sit on the stage with the head from time to time and would sit and sometimes would address the school about something or other. And I can't remember what it was, but we both noted that he'd obviously not checked carefully when he got dressed that morning, because he had a very smart suit on, but completely odd coloured socks. In the days before, that was a fashionable thing to do.
Yeah,
and I pointed it out to you, and we laughed and we sniggered about it. I said, "Oh, he's got odd coloured socks on." And the head of girls' PE, no names, no patrol, spotted.
No, I remember her well. Yes,
and came across and hoiked me out of assembly and told me to go out stand outside the door, which I did. I'd never been sent out before. And then of course you were there when assembly finished. You had to stand outside, and the assembled staff, the teachers, would all one by one come out, and some would give people a telling off, or they would tut at them, or something that to show their displeasure. And as I stood there, I'd never been sent out before, and each teacher who came past me sort of stopped and said, "Are you feeling okay now, David?" And I said, yes, I am. Thank you very much. Oh, that's good to hear. And there must have been about 10 of them all did this as they went past. But the only one who didn't do it was the person who'd sent me out, who came and tore me off a strip for daring to talk in assembly. But I remember thinking, I got away with that, all right, because everyone thought I was ill.
The best thing that you got blamed and I didn't, you know, you got hoiked out of assembly and I didn't. Maybe I just laughed in a quieter manner than
I think that would have been it, John. I think you would have hidden your laughter a little bit better than I did at the time.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness for that practice, because when we were in the Lyric that time listening to Bally Hall, you know, hiding our laughter was a good thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, just to, briefly going back to records, the only other one I ever recall buying as a huge disappointment was I'd bought the first Focus LP, which I thought was excellent and played a lot. I didn't get the second one, but then the third one came out, Focus 3, which was a double album, you know, in those days, double album. And and again, I remember getting that home. This time the records were actually in the covers. It was the actual ones. And I put on side one, track one, and I played that. And I thought, as you do, not really sure. And then I played another track and thought, well, this isn't much better. And I got halfway through the third track on this first part of it, and lifted the needle off and didn't play the rest of it ever.
Right. In that fact, difficult third album syndrome.
In fact, I think I still have it, and it's probably as pristine as it was when I bought it, because I remember thinking, basically, this is rubbish.
I'm sure you've all bought albums based on reviews. And you just play them and you think, you know, where was this review coming from? You know, I've got records in my past that I bought, you know, because they were praised, and I just get them home and I think, nah, definitely not, you know. You know, now we are so much better off. As you say, you can listen to them on Spotify and either you know, so we are luckier nowadays. But
Everyone, I mean, we always, you know, there was that thing of, you know, you sort of take various records in school to show that you had it and how cool you were and things like that. And of course, someone actually said this. I heard someone say the other day, today, these days, we've all got the same record collection. Because we can get them from any of the streaming sites, and so, you know, you don't have to purchase it. You don't even have to borrow it from someone. You can just play a bit of it and think, I like this, I'll hear the rest of it, or you can just switch to something else.
But I think generally, you know, I'd say I've always had more hits than misses on things that I've
absolutely
bought.
Yeah.
I've not had that many disastrous ones, which stuck to the back of the cupboard and never.
Were you ever dragged along to any concerts that you absolutely regretted going to see and thought, God, when is this going to finish?
Yes, I think that's quite interesting, isn't it? Really, because I mean, the most classic example of that was a friend who was trying to nail a girlfriend. And accompanied her to a Christa Berg concert.
All right, okay.
Absolutely hated it, and it didn't work. And really, it's rather like, you know, a story about you and your experience, you know, in social embarrassment. He actually went to another Christa Berg concert with her. And I still, so going twice just compounds it. But
it does, yeah.
I used to go and see bands, you know, with people I was in relationship with, and not, you know, really, you were going along just to keep them happy.
Mm.
It's, you know, the same thing works. You probably took, you know, girlfriends along to concerts that you wanted to see and they hated, maybe.
I think that side of it is definitely true. I don't think I ever particularly went to any that I didn't like, because I didn't go to that many, really. I think a lot of the ones I went to in Birmingham, I'd saved up a bit of money for. Couldn't afford to go to that many, and so was almost like determined to enjoy them. But I'm sure that many of the ones that I took girls along to, they weren't really what we used to think of as girls' music in those days. And it was a case of, I'll come along. But, and then, of course, you realise after about 3/4 of an hour, when you're standing, watching or listening to something, and you realise that the person you're with is glancing at their watch suspiciously, wondering how much longer this is going to go on.
Yeah. And do you remember in those days that you used to wake up the next morning and your ears would still be ringing? That was horrible.
Yes.
I wish I had that experience numerous occasions. I mean, you said you didn't go to many concerts. I was looking back through some diaries recently. When I was in London as a student, I was going to see, you know, bands often in pubs, because it was the era of pub rock.
Yeah.
3 times a week.
I think you were very lucky in that respect, because of where you were, you could do that. Where I was, it was very limited. I'd have to go, certainly when I was a student, I'd have to go on the bus or the train to Birmingham to see things, which I couldn't really afford to do very often. Whereas you had the tube and buses around to be able to just get all those places easily.
Jackie, you know, she'd say, here's a ticket for the Marquee tonight, or a ticket for, you know, the Rainbow or something or other, and you just go along, see somebody that you probably never even heard of before.
Mm.
So I guess we were lucky in that. But, you know, you don't turn your nose up at a free, you know, thing. But I mean, I can think of some terrible concerts I've seen too, you know, ones that I went to see David Bowie and that was awful. Earl's Court, you know, I mean, it was more entertaining looking at all the people dressed up like David Bowie than it was, because you couldn't hear the music at all. The sound system was appalling. And of course, you and I have had the experience of going to see an artist who we won't name, which was probably amongst the very best concerts we ever saw in our life, and going to see him again, which was probably one of the worst.
The worst. I'd put it up there as the worst, I think. I mean, I think it was dreadful.
Big, big disappointment. But then, you know, that's what you got with him, you know. I mean, you know, so, you know, sorry, Todd.
I'm afraid it was appalling,
So there's an awful lot of oral history to unpack in our past, isn't there? Because we are both musos. And
interestingly, you're saying that you didn't enjoy the David Bowie concert and the sound was awful, whereas my experience of it when I went as a student, and he came to Worcester where I was studying, it was fantastic. Really, really enjoyed it. But of course, it was a much smaller venue. So the sound system would have been more better for that area, and I thought it was fantastic, I have to say.
But what else was just vast, you know, and I mean, in those days the speaker systems just weren't up to it, really. So if we open the door to the polite knock of the genie, Dave, when he comes in and says, David Hill, what do you want removed from your past to let your ears not suffer?
Well, I mean, I can't say that things like the Mrs. Mills incident and Steppenwolf I'd want removed, because they've given us hours of pleasure, really, to recounting it. I'd quite like, you know, in a sort of, if you like, a mercenary way, I'd quite like the genie to take away the two records I mentioned that I'd bought and were awful, and give me my money back in today's prices, because that would be quite a nice little bonus, really. So Orleans and Focus 3, you can go. Thank you very much. Thanks to the genie, you can take them away.
I think for me, I would actually like all the hours back that I spent sitting down trying to listen to classical music and thinking I ought to be enjoying this. And yeah. just over for the fact that, you know, I wasn't enjoying it. I didn't really understand it. You know, let's just accept that there's some things in life that you are not going to like. And, you know, just accept it. So please, Jeannie, just give me those hours back.
Excellent.
I could be looking for things I did like instead.
Yeah. So I think we've covered quite a few areas of aural things there, oral, aural.
Yes.
And I think we'll...
It's been a pleasure, Dave.
It's as always, and we'll reconvene again soon to go on to another, something else that we wish we hadn't done, heard, said, whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
One, two.